Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this morning is the epistle lesson read before in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, which I would read again as follows. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, dearly beloved hearers of his precious word, can you prove that you are a Christian? What evidence do you have for that? What can you show to indicate that the Spirit of God is really dwelling in your heart? What gifts, for example, have you received of the Holy Ghost? With such a probing line of questions, many of the so-called charismatics of our day and time, including not only the full gospel variety, but even many Lutherans who have fallen into their trap and have become part of that movement, go about sowing in the hearts and minds of true believers the seeds of doubt and uncertainty about their faith. They hold and teach, for example, that since there is evidence in Scripture that in the early days of the Christian church, the Holy Spirit of God was poured out in special measure so that even new Christians were enabled to speak in tongues, to heal the sick, and to do other kinds of miracles. Therefore, the possession of those special gifts is the test of true discipleship. That the possessing of those gifts is the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and of oneness with Christ. And barring those gifts, you have absolutely no evidence that you are one of His. And so they say, if you can't testify to the rush that you felt when you received the Holy Ghost in conversion, if you can't point to visions that you have had, if you can't enumerate episodes of speaking in tongues, particularly in unknown tongues, what we would call today gibberish, if you can't show that you have the ability with the finger of God to heal people of illnesses without medicine and without surgery, maybe you just think you're a Christian. Now be not dismayed, my dearly beloved hearers, of this precious word of God before us this morning. For precisely that kind of talk and that groundless reasoning is the clearest evidence of what the Apostle Paul calls in our text for today, ignorance. Ignorance concerning spiritual gifts. But that's not all. It is also a symptom of sinful pride and arrogance arising in the fleshly heart of man, which cause him to elevate himself above other Christians, to make of himself a first-class Christian, one who has first-class gifts and abilities. This is the work not of God, this is the work of Satan, to light, as it were, a match under the often weak and silk thread-like faith of a poor Christian, of a poor sinner, who merely trusts in Christ Jesus as a little child awakened from a horrible nightmare clings to its loving father or mother, keeping score on spiritual gifts. Proves absolutely nothing about either the existence or lack of saving faith. Jesus himself praises simple, humble, unassuming, childlike faith in him as the only faith that counts in the sight of God, insisting that we become like little children in our trust of his merits, in our confidence in his grace and mercy to poor sinners for himself, for the sake of himself and his vicarious atonement. That's the faith whereby we come into the kingdom of heaven, he says. Now, certainly there are spiritual gifts, as the Apostle Paul plainly outlines many of them in the text before us this morning. But so that we are not ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, he, as the mouthpiece of the very author of these gifts, instructs us for our learning and for our edification about the special gifts of the Holy Spirit, showing us, first of all, what they are, and then secondly, how they are to be used by us in his church. In the second verse of our text, the apostle points out to the Corinthians, and of course to us as well, that in order to understand how the Holy Spirit of God distributes or dispenses his special gifts, we first have to understand the nature of his primary gift, the gift of saving faith itself. He says, ye know that ye were Gentiles, that is, heathen people, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. By nature, you and I are so helpless to save ourselves. We are so incapable even of recognizing the truth that were it not for the grace of God, we would blindly, willingly, and ignorantly permit ourselves to be led around by the nose, as we say today, into idolatry, into the worship of dumb, that is, voiceless idols or nothings, who can neither hear us, nor answer us, nor help us, nor guide us into spiritual truth. That's how we were before our conversion to faith in the Lord, Jesus. We were, like the Corinthians, steeped in darkness, in ignorance, and in estrangement from God. Wherefore, says Paul, for that very reason, I give you to understand, I want you to comprehend this, that no man, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. Those who despise the Lord Jesus and his grace, those who blaspheme his holy name, who reject him as their Savior, are devoid of the Holy Spirit of God. They resist his sincere efforts to convert them, and thus they remain spiritually blind, spiritually dead, spiritually the enemies of God, all by their own fault. But now, the opposite situation, Paul says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. When a person blesses the name of Jesus as his perfect substitute under God's law for obedience to his commandments, who clings to Jesus in childlike faith as his vicarious sacrifice who paid the penalty of his guilt before God, when he owns him as his Lord and personal Savior, that blessed evidence of spiritual enlightenment and confidence brought about in conversion is in no degree whatsoever to be credited to the person himself, but is entirely the work of the Holy Ghost. The gift of faith, the gift of justifying faith, is what distinguishes a child of God from a child of the devil. That gift of justifying faith in the mercy of God to poor sinners for Christ's sake is the same for every Christian. For there are no degrees of justification. There are no degrees in conversion, so that one is almost converted, partially converted, or anything like that. And there are no degrees to God's full and free forgiveness to all mankind for Jesus' sake. It is therefore pure and simple ignorance concerning spiritual gifts to cast doubt upon a poor sinner's faith, just because he lacks some special gift of the Holy Ghost. For he has the Holy Spirit's chief, best, and indispensable gift, without which he is no Christian. The Holy Ghost has, after all, called him by the gospel, enlightened him with his gifts, sanctified and kept him in the true faith. That's what he's done for you and for me as well. And so we have this wonderful confession with Luther in the Articles of our Creed. This is most certainly true. And no one should try to shake our faith because of this. And being justified by faith, Paul writes in Romans 5:1, having for our very own the forgiveness that God declared in eternity already for the sins of the whole world because of Jesus' vicarious atonement, we have peace with God. We're reconciled to him. We are his own children, and we're heirs of everlasting life in heaven through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's Romans 5:1. Not through the bestowal of some charismatic, special and clearly subordinate gift. And by continuance in our Savior's precious word, through which he speaks to us, unlike those dumb idols of the heathen, we enjoy, as his children, perfect unity in faith and confession. The unity of the Spirit, Paul calls it in Ephesians 4:3. Those precious gifts, brethren, are the same to each and every Christian. But now, concerning his other special gifts of grace, these, Paul says, are given to various Christians in various forms, in various degrees, and in varieties of effects. But they are all bestowed by the same Spirit. Paul says, now there are diversities of gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, differences in the way service is rendered one to another in Christ's church, literally. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, different ways of doing things. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Notice, first of all, that the Apostle Paul is not speaking about offices in the church, as though all offices in the church are divinely ordained, or that all offices in the church are all on the same level, as the Wisconsin Synod and other such bodies teach, even though there are differences between them. But the Apostle here is speaking about individual Christians. Individual Christians who are blessed in different ways, with different abilities, with different talents, with different gifts. All of these are under the direction of the one Holy Spirit of God, who has the right and the power and certainly the ability to dispense those as he will, for the singular welfare of Jesus' church, and for the benefit of all the individuals in his church. And what are some of these various gifts and abilities? Paul continues, to one, that is to one individual, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. A thorough knowledge of the word of God, sacred truths of Scripture, the very wisdom in which we are to teach and admonish one another, says the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, verse 16. To another person, to another individual, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, knowing how to use the precious truth of God's word in a practical and proper way for an individual's life, so that he may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not everybody has that gift. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Not justifying faith in the mercy of God to poor sinners for Christ's sake, because as we've already seen, every Christian has that faith, every true Christian. But this is an unwavering, strong confidence that God is able to do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not every Christian has that heroic confidence, which, granted, is certainly necessary and helpful in times of temptation and tribulation. But we see such heroic faith, for example, in the Apostle Paul. We see such heroic faith historically in people like Martin Luther. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. And who of us can make that same statement consistently and regularly concerning our own lives? To another one, prophecy. Not the gift of being able to look ahead in the future, into the future, and then proclaiming what he has seen, as concerning the prophets of the Old Testament, we define prophecy. But this prophecy is the gift to proclaim, preach, teach, admonish, the gift by which gainsayers are exhorted and convinced, by which false doctrine is refuted, and false prophets are challenged, reproved, and overthrown. Not every Christian has the ability to do that, even though every Christian is required by the Lord to try the spirits. To another individual, the discerning of spirits. Discern means to understand or to see through something. Certain individuals have the almost uncanny ability to see through the sheep's clothing of the false prophet, to mark him, to unmask him before untold damage is done in the Savior's church. A lot of simple Christians do not have that ability to discern, even though they ought to, but they're simple, childlike Christians. And even little ones who are Christians by virtue of their baptism, by virtue of their immaturity, don't have the ability to do that. But all of these are gifts and talents which the Holy Ghost bestows still today in varying degrees to various individuals, according as he best knows will redound to his glory. Now there are some gifts noted here in our text which have disappeared entirely out of the Christian church in these latter days. For whatever reason, the Lord has withheld them from his people today. The gifts of healing without the use of medicines or surgery. Simply the laying on of a hand onto a person and he becomes whole. Common in the New Testament era. A gift given by the Lord Jesus to his own apostles. To another, the working of all kinds of miracles. Things that anybody looking at them will say, this is very special. This is something that only God can do. These were gifts in demonstration of God's almighty power and accompanying and, in a certain sense, validating the preaching and teaching of the apostles and evangelists in the New Testament. You'll remember the Judaizers who claimed, we are Abraham's children. We have Moses and the prophets. Those are the scriptures. What makes you think that we should listen to you? What validates your preaching and teaching? And so the Lord gave special gifts to his apostles and to many of the early Christians to underpin their preaching and teaching. To some, diverse or various kinds of tongues. The ability to speak the wonderful works of God in foreign languages which they never studied. As the apostles, for example, on Pentecost Day. They spoke in all kinds of foreign tongues the wonderful works of God, particularly the gospel of the Lord Jesus. To some were given even the ability to speak in an unknown tongue, which to everybody else sounded like gibberish until someone came along who had the ability to interpret the tongues, to translate even those unknown languages so that the people could understand. We don't have those things today. We have God's Word in its truth and purity in our Holy Bible, word for word as the Holy Ghost gave it to us through the apostles, prophets, and evangelists. We don't have unknown tongues anymore because unknown tongues, the Apostle Paul says, don't really edify anybody. Now, all these gifts worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing severally and dividing to every man severally, individually, as he will. Even though all these wonderful and special gifts appear differently in different people and in differing ways, all of them are worked or bestowed by the same Spirit of God, who divides or distributes them severally among men as he will. As he best knows, will bless God's people. He best determines this for the ultimate good of the kingdom of grace here on earth. And apart from any consideration of the recipient's merit. He doesn't give special gifts to special people. He gives special gifts to ordinary people. All are gifts of grace in which no individual can glory to his own credit. Even the Apostle Paul said that of himself. But now we want to see yet from our text how these gifts are to be used by those to whom they have been distributed. Paul says in verse 7 of our text, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. These special gifts were given and are still given today by the Holy Spirit of God, aside from those which have completely disappeared. These gifts are given not just for the personal benefit of the person who has them. They are given not to his self-praise. They are given for the profit, that is, for the benefit of all the Christians together. God's special gifts are given to people in trust so that the Christians who have those gifts use them for the benefit of all the Christians in the congregation together. And those who have those gifts hold them as stewards so that the people who have those special gifts are to show themselves to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as the Apostle Peter says, 1 Peter 4. So when a Christian has been afforded the special gift of insight into and understanding of the Holy Scriptures, even in intricacies of doctrine, so that he can explain clearly and easily to others what those scriptures say, what those scriptures mean, what a waste of such a talent it would be for that person to keep that knowledge and that ability strictly to himself and not use it to profit with all. If he were a man, for example, and had this wonderful talent, this wonderful ability, he could perhaps study for the holy ministry so that he could use that talent in feeding the church of God, which Christ purchased with his own blood. Or he could make himself available as a help to his pastor in feeding the church of God, in teaching, and in admonishing in the church, as a teacher or as an elder, for example. If the person is a woman, to assist her pastor by teaching Christ's little lambs in the Sunday school, for example, not everybody has that ability. Some people don't have the ability even to teach those things unto their own children. Or to help her fellow sisters in Christ to understand the truths of God's precious word. Same goes for the Christians who have special talents in applying the saving truths of God's word to other people. In practice, in admonition, in exhortation, in comfort, and so on. How many times have you been in a situation where someone is really hurting or sorrowing, as in the death of a loved one, for example, and you simply say, I just don't know what to say to them. I don't know what kind of specific comfort I can bring to them. But I know someone in the congregation who has that wonderful gift of bringing the right kind of comfort at the right particular time. I'm going to go to him or to her for help. And while it is the duty of every Christian, as the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, to try the spirits, whether they are of God, that is, to test pastors and preachers, to see whether what they are preaching and teaching comports with Holy Scripture. What a blessing for all in the congregation when a particular brother, knowledgeable in the word and doctrine, has been gifted with special quickness in recognizing error, isolating the error from other things that are being taught in the church, exposing it in a timely fashion by marking the errorist or the adherents of the errorist humbly and yet firmly in accordance with Romans 16, verse 17, unmasking a false prophet. Oh, my dear brethren, you who with all Christians have been blessed with the gift of saving faith in Christ your Savior, take a moment betimes also specifically to inventory other gifts and talents which the Holy Ghost may have bestowed upon you for his purposes. Be they the special gifts in our text or still other fruits of the Spirit enumerated in God's Word. Acknowledge those things with gratitude for his abundant grace and mercy to a poor sinner like yourself. Considering how to also use those gifts cheerfully, diligently, and faithfully in the Lord's service, to profit with all, so that the good purpose which he intended by giving that gift to you in the first place is not thwarted, is not ignored, is not even despised, but that your brethren in the Savior's flock can benefit from them, be edified, admonished, encouraged, and comforted to the praise of his grace, ultimately for the salvation of their souls, for the salvation of our souls, which is, after all, the final purpose. For the Holy Spirit, having called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And may God continue to strengthen all of us with might by his Spirit in the inner man, in the man of saving faith, as we grow in grace and Christian knowledge by hearing and learning his precious word, so that we never begin to despise his grace and blessing, so that we never grow weary in well-doing, so that we never get tired of fighting the good fight of faith, so that we never carelessly waste the precious gifts which the Holy Ghost, for Jesus' sake, has given to each and every one of us. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.